me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6. Remember that scripture. It's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that God gets things done, says the Lord of hosts. Jesus told his disciples that it was expedient for them that he leave, but that he meant that it was his intention to travel to Calvary and pay the price for a man's redemption. After paying the price for sin, he would rise from the dead and ascend to the Father. There he would be exalted and pour out the promised Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is not just a comforter. Jesus called him another comforter, one of the exact same kind and type that Christ was while here on the earth. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells in every believer. He is here to guide us into all truth. He is here to lead us into the paths of righteousness. He is here to convict us of sin or wrongdoing. He is God, and he is ever present to help us with our infirmities. Without him working on our behalf, moving through us, to us, and for us, living the Christian life would be an impossible task. But with this divine strength and power, with the supernatural aid that he brings, we can experience victory, peace, and joy on a consistent basis. I am so glad that I can count on his presence in my life today. My Lord, remember, is the Holy Spirit working in us to be able to live a Christian life. Amen. It's only through him. Only through him. Let's pray for these prayer requests, people. Things that we're believing God for. I know one person told me that God had answered that prayer. And amen. We need to keep believing the things we wrote down for us personally and what we want for the future in whatever capacity, whatever it is, according to God's will. Let's pray. If you would stretch forth your hand as a form of agreement, saying we will believe. Father, Lord, we come before you. And Lord God, we stand at your throne room, Lord God, knocking on your there with you. Lord, we pray that you will answer these prayers, Lord God, that your anointing and your power and your strength and your ability would be upon these prayer requests, Lord. That, Father, according to your will, you will answer them, Lord God. In your timing, you will answer them. Lord God, we just believe that you will answer them, Lord. That you are the great God Jehovah, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And that you will answer these prayers according to your will, Lord God. Your anointing, your power, your strength to be upon it, Lord God. Your will be done. And Lord God, we believe. And Lord God, we thank you that it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's take our scripture and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for today. Lord, I pray for myself that you would help me to preach your word with power and authority, Lord God, according to your will. That the preacher and the teacher, the gifts that you had given me, Lord, will come out this morning. Your will be done, Father, in this place. And I thank you for the anointing and the presence of Almighty God upon my life, Lord. And Father, we give you praise and we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Genesis 15, verse 6, page 28. You don't have to go far in your Bible for this one. We're going to read a few scriptures, then we'll come back to these. It says this, and he, talking about Abraham, believed in the Lord. And he, talking about the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. Now it says the same thing in Romans chapter 4, if you would turn there, verse 3, page 1975. 1975. Chapter 4, verse 3. Look at this. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Interesting, people. Interesting. Here we see in these two scriptures, one in the old and one in the new. Remember, everything complements one another. You can't just have something in the new and it's not in the old. I mean, both. It complements. But it says Abraham, Father Abraham, we call him, is believed God. And it says, and God goes even a little further, and it says, he believed me, and because he believed me, it was counted unto Abraham as righteousness. Ooh, people. We know righteousness is right standing with God. So, when we believe God for something, and it's according to his will, and we know it is ours, and we stand upon that word, God is saying, just like he told our father Abraham, that it was counted unto him, and it's counted unto us as righteous. That we are a righteous people before him, no matter what. That we are in right standing because we believe him. He says, you're righteous. Even though we believed and we know is because of the blood of Jesus and what he has done in us in transforming our lives from darkness now to light. But he's saying when we believe him for what he tells us in his word, what he tells us in the spirit realm on the inside, when we believe him and act upon that word, we are righteous. Most of us don't look at ourselves as righteous. Most of the time we look at ourselves as not being righteous. But that's not what God says. When you put your faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, Abraham looked to the future of Jesus. We look to the past of Jesus and what he did. It's the same thing. You might say, well, Jesus didn't die yet. That's why they had the sacrifices. It replicated what would happen. That's why he could not take Cain killed Abel. He could not take Cain's sacrifice because it didn't replicate what Jesus would do. There was no shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But we now look to the cross from the past because it happened 2,000 years ago. And so we put our faith in what happened there, what Jesus did. And what he did makes us a righteous people before him. Well, I go, Pastor, I've made mistakes. I've said this, done this, looked at this, thought this, whatever it is. But when you ask for forgiveness, you are righteous before him. And when he speaks to you something and you obey and you do just like Abraham, God says Abraham was righteous. So you are a righteous person before him when you obey what God says to do. My God. We don't have to think we're righteous. We don't have to beg to be righteous. We don't have to beg God. We are righteous before him. We are the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. Obeying what the Spirit speaks to us. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. And the Holy Spirit is looking to speak to us and share things with us. I told Jelaine this yesterday. I walked in somewheres and after a few minutes there was another guy in there, whatever. And, you know, as I was in there, the Spirit of the Lord said, I want you to invite him to church for the Easter service. I said, okay. Yeah, I just felt it. I said, well, okay, Lord. I went, you know, we started talking, And I said, by the way, I want to invite you to our Easter service. It's on Saturday, April the 4th at 6. You know what he tells me? He said, I've been thinking about going back to church. Let me tell you this. God knows every individual upon planet Earth. He knows what's happening in their hearts. He knows what's happening in their lives. And he's setting up Christians to bring out the plan of God into every aspect of people's lives. My God. And look, I said, Lord. You know, that's God just working and moving. We have to be just, and you know, you just, whatever. The Spirit of God is knowing what's going on in every person's lives. We're here to minister. We're not here to build kingdoms. Like I heard, well, I didn't hear him say this, but I heard somebody say this man said this. He was a pastor. Said he was building his kingdom, and he was talking about all the buildings that he has or had. No more. It's gone. But that was a mighty weak kingdom. To be gone. We're not here to build our kingdom. We're here to build the kingdom of God. To share the gospel with people. To be sensitive, saying, Lord, help me. You know, help me to minister, to say a word that would help. Lord, you know what's happening on the inside of a person and what's going on. It says that it's counted unto Abraham as righteousness, meaning right standing before God. Conforming to his divine will, character, and commands. This faith, which included trusting God for an heir and the land of Canaan, was credited to him as righteousness. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 15. Look at verse 1. We're going to read a few verses. After these things, page 27... Given the page number, that helps a lot. Okay, thank you. Well, I'll continue then. Maybe one time we might have it flashing on the screen, you know, page. Who knows, man? Who knows? Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold to me, you have given no seed or no son, and lo, one born in my house is not my heir. Talking about his servant Eliezer, which would inherit everything. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be your heir. But he who shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, that means count them, if you be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. Go back to verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. That's what we want. We want a word from the Lord. I don't want a word from a human being. Now, God can use a human being, but I want a word from the throne. Because a word from the throne is life unto me. A word from the throne is life unto you. And God speaks to his people today. You know, it says in there that in the Old Testament, he used visions. He used dreams to speak to people. He used prophets of old. That the prophets, he would tell them things, you know, the prophets, and they'd go into the cities and they'd go to the people and they'd prophesy over them saying, thus saith the Lord. You know, he would use his word that he had at that time to speak unto people. And those things are still true today. But yet there's one little additive, and I say little, is that now God lives on the inside of every human being. That's where the Holy Spirit is. Now the King of Kings wants to speak directly to each and every one of us. We still can have visions. Yes, amen. And we still can have dreams of God. You know, dreams come from either, you know, ourselves, from the enemy, or from God. Either one or those three. We still can have those things. We still can have prophets that will come and prophesy, because they're still prophets today. They're part of the fivefold ministry. You know, if someone advertises they are a prophet, stay away from them. Just stay away from them. Because I'm telling you, most of the time, they're not a godly prophet. Prophets will go underhand. Not that they're ashamed of what they do, but God exalts them in due time. And they go and they lay hands and they prophesy. And you don't even know they're a prophet till the Lord speaks to you and says, that's a prophet. Through the word of God, God speaks to us. As that's why we should study it. That's why we should consume it. That's why we should get that word in us. It's a written word of God. It seems like we have time for everything else except that word. People, come on now. We need that word. It brings life unto us. You might say, well, I don't understand it all. Who? Let's see. It's still on. Well, amen. To us, it may seem like it's out of control. But to God, he has it all under control, people. He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. The next great event of the rapture of the church is about to happen. So, you know, I know we're at war here in Iran and all that stuff. And, hey, we need to pray. We need to pray. Man, we're having success like crazy. I mean, it's going well. I mean, yeah, there's some bumps here or there, but hey, that happens. You got to eliminate the enemy. The gospel of Jesus Christ can go forth and be planted in every area. And so we got to pray. We got to seek God's face and asking God to move upon our country, to move upon the earth. that the word of God would have full reign upon the earth. Because you see, the enemy will try to stop the word of God, the true word of God, from going forth. Because it produces health spiritually. It even produces health for the body physically. It produces being guided and led in the right direction. The word of God is so true. So we need to, it is the truth that has been given unto man. And so we need to do everything we can to guide it and make sure it does what it needs to do. It says this, the latter part of verse, I am your shield. That means he's your protector. And your exceeding great reward, my Lord. It says that Abraham, I'm going to just call him Abraham because God changed his name. He went to the Lord and he had something that was upon his heart. You know, him and his wife could not have a child. And he just went to the Lord and said, Lord, you have not given me any sons. Because that's how it went down to the son that would own everything. He said, I have this servant, which is a great servant, a good servant. He's like a son unto me, but yet he's not from me. Eliezer. It troubled him. It troubled his heart. It troubled his mind. Have you ever been troubled about something? Somebody lifted both their hands. I understand. Because you're troubled about something. And it brings, it just, it brings hurt. It just, there's something on the inside of us that just is not settled. Let me advise you, just like Abraham did, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord first. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need wisdom. Show me. Reveal to me. Help me. That's what he wants to do. And so that's what we do, and that's what he did. And the Lord came back in verse 4. And it's an amazing event. It says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, that's what we want. We want, as we go before him, things that trouble us in our minds, things that trouble us in our hearts, that the word of the Lord comes unto us. That means God himself from the throne room of heaven was coming to speak unto Abraham. Well, when we have a troubled heart or a troubled spirit, we want God from the throne room of heaven to speak unto our spirit on the inside. Speak to us, Lord. Abraham was no better than you and I. And honestly, he probably would want to live today. Now you might say, Father Abraham, thank God for him. Thank God for the things that God had done in his, has done in his life. But I tell you, these prophets of old and these men of old didn't have the Spirit of God live inside of them like we have the privilege of having today. My Lord, we don't realize how blessed we are by the Spirit of Almighty God. That we don't need a prophet to come and prophesy over us. If God wants to do it, we'll take it. We don't need to have a vision, but if God wants to give it, we'll take it. We don't need a dream from heaven, but if God wants to give it, we'll take it. We need the word. But we all have the Spirit of God living inside of us that wants to speak and move and help us to overcome things and help our troubled spirits to have the peace of God on the inside of our hearts and on the inside of our minds, my Lord. It says this. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not be your heir. Can you imagine? Abraham's troubled. He goes to the Lord. He said, it's Eliezer, but I have no son. And the word of the Lord comes unto him and says, I want to make sure I say it right, this shall not be your heir. You see, we don't know what God will speak to us. Huh? We don't know when we go to God with a troubled heart or a troubled spirit what God will say. We know this, that he has compassion upon his people, that he will comfort us, that he will do. But we don't know what he's going to speak. Abraham didn't know. God could have said, Abraham, that is it. And you know what? Abraham could have taken it and said, okay, Lord, Eliezer is my heir. Or he could have got mad at God and pouted all day and got mad at God again and pouted the next day. But you see, you think that would have been God? No. Whatever God wanted to speak is what we have to take, and we got to take it with a smile on our face. We may not agree with everything, but we got to take it. We got to say, Lord, your will be done. And it says this, but he who shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And the comment says, the Lord can only accept that which he brings forth. God told him, you from your own body will have your own son. He could only accept what God would say. When we're troubled by things, or we're asking God for help, or we need God for direction, we can only accept what God says. Nothing else. We can't imagine something. We can't think something. We can't think that God made a mistake or anything like that. We have to accept what he says and go forth with our lives, people. We can't fight against him. We can't say something against it. We just got to accept it. That doesn't mean we're not troubled. That doesn't mean we don't agree with him. But he knows what's best. And so Abraham was excited. He had to accept, thank you, Lord, for what he was going to do. And he, the Lord, brought him. And he said, now, Abraham. Abraham was excited, but he said, now, Abraham, come see. He said, I want you to look up. He says, forth abroad and said, now, look now towards heaven. And tell the stars, if you will be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. From one son comes the stars of the heavens. Even though God spoke to him, I think he might have still been a little down. And he said, now Abraham, look at the heavens. What he was saying is, don't look down anymore, Abraham. Look up. People, that's a lesson for us. Look up, for your redemption draws near. Look up, for God is moving. Look up and let him do what needs to happen. You see, that brought faith into Abram. That brought faith into Abraham's life. To see, God says, from one son will come all these stars. How many stars are there in the heavens? My Lord, huh? Scientists estimate 1 septillion stars. That's a 1 with 24 zeros. And they still don't know. That's estimating. That's a lot, huh? From one. In our Milky Way, our galaxy, there's between 100 and 400 billion. Just they estimate. So you see what God can do, people? When God speaks a promise, we can bank on it. It will happen. But we have to accept what he says. We have to accept what the Holy Spirit says. We have to accept what God says. My Lord, what are you believing God for? You know, there are some things in the Word of God that we know God wants all men and women, boys and girls, to be saved. That is. Because that's heaven or hell, huh? That's what it is. Just because you're born in America doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just because you go to a particular church doesn't mean you're a Christian. It's accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What are you believing God for? What's maybe some things that trouble your heart, trouble your mind, trouble your spirit? What are you believing God for? Look at Abraham. He went to the Lord first. The word of the Lord came to him first and told him. Now, he wanted a son, and thank God that's what God did. But I think Abraham was to the place where he will accept whatever, because it was God. And we have to get to the place that we accept what God wants for our hearts and for our lives. No matter what, we can believe, we can stand firm, we can believe on his word, and that's what we should do. We need to let faith rise up on the inside of us to believe him for the miraculous in our hearts and lives. But I tell you what, when the word of the Lord comes to you at night or in the morning or while you're driving your car or whatever you're doing, and the word of the Lord comes in like a just push down on the inside, and you know it's God that spoke to you, that's it. That's it. Now, we know Abraham had a problem. He was 100 years old. We know Sarah had a problem. She was 90. That's a problem. When God speaks and the word of the Lord comes, there's no problem that God can't overcome. And the world looks at this and they laugh. That didn't happen. Yes, it did. We know because the God that did that lives inside of us. And if he wrote it in that word, it is truth. He is not a God that lies. But he is a God that tells the truth. And here we see, we might have things that bother our lives, but we gotta do what God says. Did the word of the Lord come to you according to God's will? While waiting, are your eyes on the promise instead of on the giver of the promise? And you can read that in Genesis 15. There's one part of the comment. It says that. Abraham had to make sure, after God spoke to him, that he kept his eyes on the promise giver and not on the promise. That's a lesson for all of us. I'm telling you. When God tells you something, whatever it is, it could be the future of your life, it could be whatever it is in your future, could be the present, whatever it's going on, whatever situation, things that are troubling you, problems, don't ever put your eye on the gift. Not here, where we used to go to church years ago. The lady came up to me and said, you know, she put out her hands like this and she said, I'm a healer. She must have saw my eyes just roll like, oh my God, another goofball almost. I'm a healer, you know, because somebody prophesied her over her and told her that she was a healer and that anything her hands touched. And, you know, I'm not saying God uses people. And he, you know, maybe she, but you know what? This is what I'm trying to get at, is that her eyes were on the gift and not the gift giver. You see, when we get our eyes off of the gift giver, which is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is when we get in trouble. That's when trouble rises up. I mean, trouble rises, whatever. But we keep our eyes upon Him, the gift giver, and not on the gift itself. Because gifts can come and go, people. Oh, my Lord. What God gives, you know, that's up to Him. It's in His court. He knows what we need. He knows what we needed in our lives. He can give it. He can do what needs to happen. But the gift giver, we always keep our eyes on Him. And He does a mighty work in us and through us. In Matthew chapter 7, it talks about knocking. Keep on knocking on that door. What God, chapter verse 7 and 8, seek, knock, keep on doing those things. And you'll see that God is moving in the supernatural according to His will. And if we're not where God wants us to be according to His will, you say, Lord, get me where I need to be. And I'm not talking about so much physically, but just in the spirit realm too, or physically, however. Lord, get me to the right place. Put me where you want me to be. Let your anointing and your spirit rest upon me. Now, I want you to turn to Genesis 21, and this is the last. Right here. 21, verse 1, 2, 3 to 7. It said, and I want you to see. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Oh, that's mighty, people. Remember, God will do what He speaks. For Sarah conceived and bore Abram a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God has commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old, and his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all who hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abram and Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. You might say, why did you read that last part? Because I want you to see that God keeps His promises. When the word of the Lord comes, and let me tell you this, God could speak at any time. Any time. When He speaks, you keep your eyes on the giver. Not on what so much you want. Now, that doesn't mean you don't write it down. And remind Him, saying, Lord, you said this. Because I'm sure Abraham would remind the Lord many a times. But he believed God, as it says in Genesis 15, verse 1, and Romans. He believed God. Believe God. Just keep on. You might say, well, I've been believing and nothing's happening. You might not be seeing things in the physical eye. But if God said that was for you, you can believe God that it's working. And He's moving. Because He's a God that is truthful. And He's a God that will bring about what He said He would do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to the King. Amen. You may stand, please.